I'm Luke Bricker, and welcome to the Kingdom City Podcast. Each week, we take Christianity out of its religious box and begin to see life through the glasses of the Kingdom of God. Join us as we tackle some of the most controversial topics in and out of the church.
I'm driving, and you're sticking behind this truck. Man, I don't know what's up with that.
Well, I watched the Mythbusters episode that said that if you trail a semi truck, you're actually in the jet stream saving gas. So I'm actually being smart.
I don't think you're close enough, man.
No, I'm.
It's called drafting.
No, it's good up to 100 feet.
No way.
Yeah, they did a freaking study on it, man.
I don't know, man.
I'm telling you, man. You can look up the episode, and also I've done it for years, and I mean, shoot. I'm still on a full tank of gas, and we're probably like, I don't even know, we'll probably get 70 miles out.
More than that, man. We got a hot minute here. All right, so we're on our way right now from Oklahoma City to Kansas City. This is Eric and Luke, and we just went to the Youth America Leader Conference in Oklahoma City. We drove Eric's awesome Honda Accord, so we felt like we were of one accord.
Yes.
From Southside Indianapolis to Oklahoma City, it was a long drive. We stopped off in St. Louis, drove around in the hood, finally found a cigar shop, and got some stogies for the road. And didn't make very good time, but it was fun, man.
Yeah, of course, like Indiana boys, we were a little late to every single event that happened this weekend, except for the last one. Except for the last one, we actually woke up late, thinking that we were going to be a good 45 minutes late. Turns out we were a half hour early. We got to hang out in the lobby with all the other hipsters that, you know, we felt right at home with. It was good to be in such an awesome place with people just like us, who were sitting around judging each other and calling each other hipsters.
Dude, it was an experience, man.
Oh, it was awesome.
Like, you know, Eric and I, we decided to go to this conference a few months ago, and finally a couple months ago, and I feel like I've been waiting for it forever. And we got a, like, they had dorms that you could stay in, but we missed the registration deadline on that, so we got an Airbnb. If you're not familiar with that, basically you just, like, download an app or go online, and you can stay in people's homes for like super discounted price than from a hotel.
It's just like couch surfers, if you heard of that.
Yeah, so, and if you hear cars whizzing by or whatever, it's because we're on I-35 heading north, man. So disregard, and the quality didn't feel like bringing the mixer and everything out on the road, so they're using our computer mic here, but bear with us. And we want to share with you guys some insights and some things that we pulled from this conference, and it's kind of a reflection, but even more than that, just something that we ran across today. Man, was we were talking, as Eric said, we thought we woke up late, we ended up getting to the church early, but on our way we swung into Circle K to grab some coffee and a little bit of, you know, makeshift breakfast, and while we were in there, grabbed our Joes, and Eric found the newsstand area and grabbed a free magazine, or not magazine, like a newspaper called The Gailey.
The Gailey Regional. It was, it's kind of like a Nouveau for all you indie people, but I just picked her up, thought it'd be a good, interesting read. I was driving, so Luke was taking a gander at it, and he found an article right on the front page.
Yeah, matter of fact, I'll read it to you right now. Yeah. So I'm sitting there trying to sip on my lava hot coffee, which didn't work out very well.
Nope.
And so I look down, I start reading the Gailey, and on the Gailey it says, I just run across this paragraph here, and it's a lady that's writing this article on the front. There's a picture of four transgenders on the front, and used to be male, now female, and I just see this paragraph. It says, why are so many trans people depressed? In my experience, many trans people lose everything when they decide to transition, including but not limited to family, friends, jobs, and homes.
Yeah.
Even though they are happy to finally express their authentic selves, they lose many of the external things that brought them happiness. They often become isolated, become trapped in lives of fear and solitude.
Wow.
And man, immediately I just talked to Eric about these people have given their lives to be transgender. I mean, they've given it all up. And, you know, they've given up their friends, their family, their homes, their jobs for this identity. And I was just, you know, reflecting with Eric that Jesus calls us to do that.
Yeah.
This is the very same thing. He says, give up your job. If you have to, whatever. That give up your home. Give up your family. Anything in comparison to me, you must hate if you want to be my disciple.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Eric's mimicking like all the people at the conference right
now.
Come on. Yeah.
Anyway.
You could be like, yeah, I picked up the Gaelic. Wow. You know?
Yeah. But that's right. That's good. Yep.
And so the thing is like, Jesus calls us to sacrifice these things for the hope and the promise of a secure identity that will not fail, that will sustain.
Oh, my God.
And these people have fallen into the lie that they've given it all up, and the reason why so many trans are depressed now is not because they've lost their earthly happiness, but rather that they've found that their identity is void and doesn't have what they thought that it promised them.
Wow.
So yeah. Comparing and contrasting that with Jesus, I mean, Jesus gives us identity that is true and fulfilling, where everything else that we are willing to sacrifice for leaves us null and void. And, man, I'll just, you know, kind of leave it at that. And so we ended up going to the conference. And what did the pastor talk about this morning?
Identity. Of course. And it's awesome. Like, there is no coincidence, man. The Holy Spirit, like, I mean, we were talking about it earlier, just about how all these little coincidences that have happened over the weekend have just been evidence of God's almighty design and how He can use the tragedies, He can use the misfits, He can use the people who feel like they've just lost everything, but they're holding on to something, and just into this, weaves us into this amazing quilt of love, is what I said earlier. And just like the simplest things can just like make no sense as to why it's happening the way it is. And I might be rambling, but I'm just excited just to, like, just the fact that, you know, we went to pick up some coffee this morning instead of spending $2 for a small cup at the conference. We're just, you know, let's go stop at this Circle K. And I saw this newsletter and it just looked appealing to me. I mean, it just stuck out. It's got this huge, you know, titling, and just the Gaily, and I had to see what it was about. So one thing, you know, leads to another, and
and what I think is interesting about this is that the point of this article and the point of this publication is community. It says right here,
yeah,
about community. And it's no secret that no matter what community you're a part of, that's the identity that you hold.
Yeah.
And we're all so eager to find identity, but identity comes through community.
Mm-hmm.
And it's through community that you have identity, and through identity that you have community, and it's completely synonymous.
Yeah.
And I just think it's amazing how our identity is in Jesus.
Yeah.
And as our identity is in Jesus, we're associated into a community of believers, the church. And what makes the church is a community of people that have their identity in Jesus. And it's like, this idea of community and identity isn't unique to the Christian faith. I mean, it's obvious that if anything is going to sustain, it can't just be an individual reality. It has to be a community experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just love that, you know, and I've said it many times before in sermons, that working out of that identity, not for it.
Yeah.
And that's what these people are doing here. They're working out of their identity in their community. They have people around them saying, this is who you are, this is who you're not, This is what you stand for. This is what you don't stand for. And as individuals, we want to be. The fact is, we associate ourselves and we believe what the community says.
Yeah, and it, Pastor Brad today was talking about, you know, what the enemy does to try and take our minds off of our true identity. And it was in the Garden of Eden, and it was it happened in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus went to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And what the three main points were is that every single time Jesus was tempted by Satan, every single time he was asked, "If you are the Son of God, then do this." Three different times. And I mean, how often do we experience that same type of, you know, that scrutiny from Satan himself in our own lives? You know, if you are who you are, then do this.
Prove it.
If you are, you know what your crew says you are, then do this. You know, if you are what your friends say you are, if you are what your parents say you are, then prove it. You know, but
we don't have to prove anything if we're secure.
And that's exactly how Jesus, you know, taught us in that very, you know, 40 days and 40 nights that he was out there being tempted by the devil. He was being tempted to be an example as to how, who we are and how we should live. We don't need to turn stones into bread. We don't need to, you know, jump off buildings or, you know, bow down to anybody but Jesus. Our identity is Jesus. Our identity is in Jesus. And that's what just hit me today and, you know, blew my mind really, but just like this topic of identity cannot be outspoken. It can never be spoken enough is what I mean. That's what I'm trying to say.
It's just, well, because that's what eats at us the most.
Yeah.
Is trying to prove who we are, trying to, you know, provide for ourselves in every way and to make it a reality, striving to do that and not working out of the identity that Jesus has already placed on us. But there's just a lot of comfort in that. And knowing that we don't have to work, that's another thing about Brad's message, was about the applause. No pun intended to pop music, but we live for the applause a lot in life.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who retweets you. It doesn't matter how many downloads your podcast get. It doesn't matter how many followers. It doesn't matter how many likes, how many shares. What matters is I am submitted to my identity in light of who Jesus is, period. And that's that. And we live from that. And we get our provision from that. We get our acceptance from that.
Yes.
Knowing that Jesus is, we don't get our acceptance from applause. We don't get our acceptance from retweets or anything of that nature. And just being reminded of that. And, you know, as you guys can probably tell, we're just processing this message that we just heard. We've heard so many killer messages in the past 36 hours. It's wild. And, you know, our weekend's not even over. I mean, we're on our way to Kansas City. We're going to head to IHOP and go check out another Vineyard church up here. And it's like, It's great, man. And like, what really just struck me today was just that sense of identity and sense that if it's gonna be, it's up to me, sort of thing. And man, just knowing that my rest is in the Lord. That I do work hard, but I'm not working for anything. I'm working out of something.
Right.
And I feel like identity could never be like over preached. Ever.
Yeah. No, never. I mean, I think we're just already getting into all this, like, deep, you know, stuff about identity and, you know, jumping right into it. And, I mean, me and Luke have gotten just, you know, hit in the chest so many times this weekend, even over our own, you know, issues that we're facing, you know, with, you know, pride and arrogance and just foolishness that we struggle with. And I think that, you know, just walking in it, you know, walking into this place where we could just be surrounded by a bunch of goofy people just like us and, you know, just get wrecked by all these amazing messages. And but more importantly, just get to experience God in a way where we're like 11 and a half hours away from Indianapolis, away from our homes, away from our families, away from the vineyard, away from, you know, the youth, everything. And it's just given us a moment of clarity of what our main goals are, what our focuses are on right now. And we see a trajectory now. And, you know, there's no randomness or coincidence as to why we came out here at all. You know, I hadn't even thought much about it until the day before. I was like, wait a minute, we're driving all the way to Oklahoma City tomorrow? This is going to be interesting. I forgot how far away Oklahoma City was from Indianapolis.
Dude, I know.
But, so background, me and Luke have both driven across country a couple times, and we ended up being a perfect traveling couple, you know, just...
We're like Paul and Silas, man.
Paul and Silas, man. We're just freaking traveling and just getting wrecked by the Spirit, you know, as our buddy Daniel Johnson would say.
But, and that's the thing, too, and just showing some vulnerability in all of this, like, in our identity, knowing, like, who are we? We are... Like, what is man that you, God, are mindful of us and not exalting ourselves? Jeez. Pride is such a difficult thing. Eric and I walk into this conference Friday night, and it's like, you know, you have a conference like this, and just the artistic hipster people just come out of the woodwork. It's like, you know, should I dare to say, I'm not going to say that. That's being negative. But it's just like, free food at a homeless shelter. Right. We'll say that.
Well, basically, I want to add this real quick. Just last night, we were sitting in the awesome hospitality that we were offered last night by the couple of people from Airbnb.
Bethany in Oklahoma City, shout out.
Yeah, Bethany and Adam, we love you. We thank you. You guys gave us free beer. I mean, dude, it was awesome.
This is excellent.
What we were talking about last night, I mean, because... We joke around a lot, but really the heart of the matter is that we really do love people for who they are. And, you know, I think when we walked into that conference, we were surrounded by a bunch of people that were not what we're used to surrounded by, because they were just like us. We've talked about this a couple times, but me and you have always kind of felt like we've been cut from a different cloth than most people that we've known throughout our lives. We both grew up in Greenwood, and just, you know, kind of, there's something different about us, you know, just,
yeah.
But really, I felt like a little just like judgmental walking into that conference, seeing a bunch of people, like, you know, one of the first thoughts that came into my mind was like, wow, I thought we were coming to a youth conference, not a fashion show. But you know, I'm sitting there looking at myself, and I'm like, okay, I guess I'm guilty of it too. You know, I'm wearing a suit jacket, and I look over at Luke. He looks like freaking Josh Garrels, you know, and I'm like, okay, I'm ready to listen now. So really, that's all it was. We were surrounded by a bunch of people who were cut from a different cloth, and our identity was just, I believe it was stirred up and it was shaken. And just the foundation was strengthened this weekend. I think that, you know, just for everybody that went to this conference, I really wish that whoever's listening could have an experience like this at some time in their lives, in their spiritual locks. You know, I pray for all of you guys. And, you know, I just want, you know, especially if any of you guys are listening that are struggling with identity problems, whether, you know, it be a trans issue or gay or lesbian issue, or even if it's something that has to do with location or race. Do you put your identity in the color of your skin? Do you put your identity in where you're from? Or, you know, do you put your identity in who you really are? Who do you think you are?
That's right.
I want you guys to ask yourselves that question. And I want you guys to think about what Peter said in know, when Jesus asked him, "Who do you say that I am?"
Yeah,
and he says, "You're the Son of God," and that's it. Like,
and then Jesus renamed him Simon.
Yes,
you are now Peter.
Yes,
and man, just living out of that newness and that freshness of who Jesus is, and just like, go ahead, man.
The moment we realize, the moment we proclaim with our mouths, we confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He is the Christ, the moment that we confess that and believe with our hearts, we are saved. We're reborn. We are created into our new identity. And that's the example right there in Matthew 16. You know, Jesus looks at him, he says, "Look, Simon, son of Jonah, you've just said this, and it did not come from your flesh. Did not come from the blood or the bones, or didn't come from your human tongue, but this came from the Holy Spirit. And right now, your name is Peter, and I'm going to build the rock of this church upon you." And that's heavy. That's amazing, because we all who follow Jesus have that experience at some point in our walk. We have that moment where we have to say, "Jesus, you are God. You are our Lord and Savior. You are the Christ." And the moment we say that with our mouths and believe it in our hearts, something radical happens in our lives. Our identity is in Jesus. Our foundation is being laid. And I just want to give all you guys encouragement and hope in Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, He's not far away from you. All you got to do is ask Him, "Who are you?"
It's good, man. But, you know, and just a heart check thing for me, too. I walked in and I was like, you know, these are people that all, like, have the same style as me. But then I'm like, man, I don't know. I felt like I just convicted that, you know, all these people are just like me, you know. And
yeah.
And I think just to define some things, too, you know, I was actually able to, before I define, I was actually able to get more free in the spirit, actually quicker. I was able to actually raise my hands in worship and feel the freedom of the Lord, because, you know, a lot of places I go, I feel like a lot of people are looking at me and
yeah,
they're like kind of like checking me out, like, "Huh, this guy looks a little different than everybody else." And so being in a place where everyone was so similar to me, I didn't have to worry about, like, is anybody looking at me?
Yeah.
It was really freeing, actually, after I got over the pride thing. And but, you know, the thing is, and Eric and I talked about this last night, is this stupid term hipster thrown around all the time.
Yeah.
We feel the need to have to label something. I mean, over the years, it's been called different things. I mean, trace it all the way back to the beatniks. I mean, we have this urge in each of us to put things in boxes, to label.
Yeah.
And the fact is, when we use that term hipster with people, the only thing that we're really saying is, this person seems to be creative. They seem to be maybe a musician. They seem to be someone who is a different thinker.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people in society can't stand it, so we have to throw a term on it and end up giving it a negative connotation.
Yeah.
And then, you know, hipsters are so whatever that they don't want to accept that, because they're like, "I don't want to be a label. I don't want to be," and it's like...
And it comes from people just loving to put other people down and putting themselves on a pedestal.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's our nature, really. I mean, it's just, you know, stepping away from our sinful nature, stepping away from our judgmental habits, you know, and just realizing what the greatest commandment really is.
Dude, people are just creative, man. Let them be creative. If you want to call them hipster or whatever, and, you know, I used to be so irritated with that word. And when some people would call me that, I would be like, I don't know if I should be okay with that, or if I should be irritated with that, if I should accept it. Like, how should I respond to that? And I realized, like, you know, it doesn't matter if people want to place that label on me or not.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm a creative type of person. I'm a musician, whatever. Call me whatever you want to call me, but, like, I'm just going to be who I believe that God's created me to be. I like style and fashion and these things of that nature. You know, you can be irritated with that. Like, you can... But it doesn't matter because I could be irritated about a lot of other people for a lot of other things, for being so mainstream or whatever, but it's like, then that subculture of hipster or whatever becomes a mainstream. It's like, so the point that I'm making is that, like, my identity is not in a label. My identity is not in musician. My identity is not in you know, thinking about processes and strategy differently than what a lot of other cultures do. The fact is, my identity is in Jesus, and, you know, however that wants to be expressed, it's going to be expressed, and whatever label people want to put on it, that's the label that they put on it.
Yeah.
You know, because the fact is, if I was a product, you know, and they had to take me to a supermarket, I don't believe if they really looked at my life, they wouldn't, they'd be like, I don't know what aisle to put this guy in. Should I put him in aisle 23? Should I put him in aisle 6? I don't know. He could be in either of those aisles. He could be out in the garden area. He could be in electronics. I don't know where it would be fitting to put this person in all these aisles. And I think that's what we strive for. I mean, you know, I like style and things, but I also love motorcycles, but I also love music, but I'm also a strategist business person. You know, and it's like, how would you be able to label that? You can't fully label a person.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you call them hipster. It doesn't matter if you call them square. It doesn't matter if they're accountant type or if they're creative type.
Here's the thing, man.
Man.
Look, whoever you are unique no matter what. No matter what you're into, you're unique in your own way. You're a snowflake, man. You're a beautiful snowflake. And I love you. But look, I'm just saying, labels can just bring people down. I mean,
but they can help us understand who we are. You know, I mean, the way that you know the difference if it's a can of corn or a can of green beans is by the label that's on it. But we're not judging the green beans for not being corn. We're not holding that against them. So what labels can do is it can help us better communicate with each other. And I've probably talked about this on a podcast before, so forgive me if I'm beating a dead horse. But, you know, if you want to call somebody a creative, that's just a way that you can better communicate with a creative type of person. That's all. You know, if a person's more business, you can better communicate with them based on that label.
Yeah.
It's not separating them. It's helping you understand them.
Yeah.
That's all. Man, we are on a rant, dude.
Sorry,
this is what
guys.
The road does to you, man. Freaking road dogs.
Ah, man. Paul, the original road dog.
Yeah, dude.
Freaking Paul and Silas over here. Just.
So.
We're just chewing on a lot of stuff right now in our minds and our hearts and our spirits. We just got a lot of stuff going on. We might be externally processing some stuff. But,
yeah.
I don't know. Plus, I mean, we don't have Elisha or Brian on with us, so it's kind of just...
Well, we wanted to make sure that you guys got an episode this weekend, and so it's Saturday, the 14th, November 14th. We're going to be getting into Kansas City here in a couple hours, and we're going to go check out, shout out to our buddy Rob Sanford down in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
Awesome friend. Wish you were here. We were going to swing down to Dallas and hang out. Didn't work out. We're swinging up to KC instead, but checking out some IHOP stuff, but... He's got a couple of friends with some coffee shops, so we're going to head to a coffee shop here and hang out with a couple of Rob's friends, mutual friends. Dude, relationships are the currency of the kingdom. That's what John Wimber used to say.
Hey, wait. I just want to say one thing while we're still shouting out for our buddy Roberto. DiGiorno, bitch.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I had to do it. It's an inside joke that me and him just... Look at it.
All right. Well, I don't even think he listens to the podcast.
Oh, he will.
All right. Well, for all of you guys that are offended, we apologize.
I'm sorry.
But different cultures are accepting of different languages.
If you just want to know what we're talking about, just type in DiGiorno bitch on YouTube. It's just a video of a guy getting slapped in the face with a pizza.
All right. Well, you know, maybe I'll look it up on my phone because there's no Wi-Fi out here on the road. That was my point that I was making with the coffee shop. When we get to this coffee shop, we're going to upload this so you can have it for your listening pleasure. And, you know what? If you're even still listening, like, seriously, like, I love you. Like, you're awesome.
You are awesome,
and
man.
If
Thank
you're
you,
still
Jose.
Listening, if you're still listening at this point, you know, just even on that note, maybe, Eric, we might make a second podcast. I don't know. Talking about language and cultures, I think that's a really big deal. Eric and I come from a little bit more of an underground culture, the music scene, hardcore scene, skate scene, and different cultures are accepting of different languages. Just like if you go to the UK, there's words there that are acceptable, that are not acceptable in the United States. We use words here that are not acceptable there, vice versa, all over the place. And I would submit, even within the confines of America, within the different subcultures that we have, there's language that's acceptable and not acceptable. And, you know, when Paul talks about things that we should have no corrupting language, that we should only build each other up,
yeah.
I don't think that that's limited to our culture of what we decide what those words are. It's the heart and the motive behind those words. And so, anyways, I just want to throw that out there for you. We want to respect your culture. And so, you know, this is the podcast that we do. So this is our culture of who we are. But we want to respect you and, but understand that, you know, in this podcast, you know, this is our culture. This is who we are. And, you know, some more people that can make some really good comments on that is, the dudes from the Bad Christian podcast. We love the Bad Christian podcast. We don't agree with everything on the Bad Christian podcast, but we love, the heart behind it. And we do agree with a lot of the stuff on there. So, if you want to know more about that, we may or may not make a podcast about it, but the Bad Christian guys certainly cover the idea of language and culture. So thank you guys. Connect with us on social media. We're going to be a little bit more diligent about posting on there and creating the community that we believe that God wants us to create. So Audi from I-35 North, heading up to Kansas City. You got any final words, Eric?
Peace!